Well, good evening. Welcome to The Refuge. It is so good to have you here this evening. If this is your first time, I just want to greet you and welcome you. We have a couple events coming up that I wanted to bring your attention to. In a moment, there'll be a clipboard going by, and Rachel, do you have my clipboard? Who's got my clipboard? Oh, yeah, that. Gary, bring it here. All right. We're going to do Thanksgiving dinner in the park. We're going to feed 150 to 200 homeless people and helpers and workers. Hi, Rach. And but in order to pull that off, we have to have the food. So on November 23rd, 2 weeks from today at 11 a.m., we'll actually start serving the homeless on the streets of Norfolk. It's in a park that's on the corner of Brambleton and Church Street by the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. And this sign-up sheet, if you look and you wonder what to bring, in the very last page of the sign-up sheet, there's a list of items that we need. And then there's a spot for you to fill out your name, your phone number, items that you would like to bring so we can feed the homeless, and then whether you're coming also to help serve it. What we're doing is we're going to drop the food off between 8 and 9 o'clock. You have two options. Drop it off at Harvest in Greenbrier. It'll be loaded up in these hot racks in a big box truck, and it'll be taken over to the park where we're feeding. Or you could bring it with you to that park and just have it there, say, by like 10:30. All right. Now, we'll encourage you that if you're bringing it in a container that you want back, bring it in a container you don't want back. Because it might be difficult trying to get these containers all matched up to the different people. All right. So this is going to be floating around. So, Brian, you come grab this. I forget what you make, but you make something really good. You did it last year, I think. So, all right. I don't remember. Was it mashed potatoes? Yeah, that's it. All right. And then we have a couple offering bags that are going to go by. If you have an offering you would like to give, we would like to receive it. Please do so cheerfully. And we'll ensure that there's heat on here next week and all the other stuff like lights and electricity and all the fun stuff. So, have you ever in your life had something happen, a situation that you would have preferred it not have happened? At least one event in your life. That if you were in charge and you could control the situation, that particular situation and that event would not have occurred in your life. Anybody have one? I have one. Maybe two. What do you do when something in your life happens and you really don't understand why? In Psalm 73, a person who is trying to follow God and do God's will and get everything right was looking at the world he lived in, is looking at his situation, and he had some questions for God. And in Psalm 73, this is what he said. And they say, he's talking about some other people out there, and they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. And what was happening is this gentleman was looking at everybody else's life who maybe weren't trying to live for God, weren't trying to do what's right, and they were prospering. Everything was going really great for them. And yet he was trying to do everything right, and he's broke. And everything's going really bad for him. And he's thinking, is this like following God thing, like a huge waste of time? And he says, when I pause and I try to process why people who live a certain way, maybe contrary to what the Lord would say, are doing so well, and then some of us that are trying to live like God and trying to get it right are doing so badly, he sits there and he says, you know what? It's just too painful for me to even try to process this in my life. Another situation is found in the Gospels, and it's found in John chapter 9, verse 2. And a little bit of background, there was an idea in the Old Testament, in the beginning of the New Testament, when Jesus on the earth, that if something tragic happened to your family, it was because of sin. It was because somebody disobeyed God, and because of that, something horrible was happening in your life. So they bring this boy, the disciples bring this boy to Jesus, and in John 9, 2, it says, and the disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see, they were trying to connect everything in life to something else. They're just trying to connect the dots. Have you ever tried to connect the dots in your life? Like, if I do stuff really good, thing, good things are supposed to happen to me. If I do bad things are supposed to happen to me. And there probably is some principle truth that, because the Bible says, whatever you reap, or whatever you sow, you also reap. So if you're going to sow a bunch of junk in your life, there's a chance you might reap a bunch of junk in your life. But sometimes you can sow all the right stuff in your life, and bad stuff still really happens. So the question is, what do you do when bad stuff happens to good people? Especially if you're that good people. Why is it happening? Why is it you get laid off, or you lose your job, or your family situation goes south, or your relationships are a mess? When in reality, when you look at it, it seems like you're attempting at least to get it right. Well, some questions Pastor David teaches us are best not answered or even asked, because the questions don't take you anywhere good. For example, Pastor David's son was struck by lightning, almost died, survived, but is handicapped right now and bedridden. A question not worth asking is, God, why did this happen to me? Because it doesn't take you where? Anywhere good. It doesn't take you anywhere profitable. All right, so what do you do, or what do I do, when I don't understand? When something in life happens, and I look at it, I'm like, I don't know why this happened in my life. Well, the first thing I try to do is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The first thing I attempt not to do is to grieve God with my reaction or my thoughts or my words towards a situation I don't understand. Now, some reasons why I'm tempted to grieve the Lord. Sometimes it's just because I'm really confused, and I don't understand. I don't understand why such and such is happening in my life. Sometimes I grieve the Lord because I don't understand why what I'm personally experiencing isn't changing. Why is it no matter what I do, my circumstances still seem to be challenging? And sometimes I have a tendency to maybe want to resist the Lord because I can't find a verse that justifies why this is happening in my life. And I want to shake my fist and say, God, you give me chapter and verse why I deserve this. Or you give me chapter and verse of why this is good for me. You show me in your Bible why this needs to happen in my life, and guess what I get? Nothing. And so what happens, there's been times in my life when I'm in that place, instead of drawing near to God, the one thing I want to do is push God away. I met with somebody one time, and her friend wanted me to meet her, but she didn't want to meet me because she hated God. And I'm like, she hates God? Oh, no. She's got some major anger issues with God. I'm like, that doesn't sound safe. And I said, so eventually she decided to meet me. So I'm hanging out with her. And I said, so why don't you like God? She goes, are you kidding me? Do you know what he has done to me? I said, no. No, what? Every single person I've ever really loved in my life, he's killed. He took my grandfather. He took my father, he took my brother, he took my best friend. If there is a God, he doesn't want to meet me because I will hurt him. I'm like, so you really believe that God killed all those people in your life? Yes. If that were true, and I believe that, I fully understand why you're angry with God. I said, can I ask you a question? She said, sure. How do you know God did that? Well, what other reason would there be for it? I said, I don't know, but could there be another reason? Other than the fact that God really despises you and kills everybody you love. Could there be another reason? She goes, I suppose. I said, then let me ask you a question. Do you suppose your anger towards God is unjustified then? And she got mad and walked away and came back like a month later. And we're pretty good friends today. Can I give you a few pointers tonight on what to do when you don't understand? When somebody walks up to you, like they did to me one day, and say, we prayed and we prayed and we asked God for a baby, and we couldn't have a baby. And finally, one day, after years of prayer, we had a baby. And as I go and I pick that baby up from the nursery, that literally this baby is an hour old, and the baby's dead. And they place this baby under heating lamps just so it's warm. And I bring the baby in and hand it to the parents so they can say goodbye to their son. And this mom looks at me and asks me the question, tell me why. Tell me why this happened. See, whether you've ever had that question of why and not understood, you're going to meet somebody one day who will have a serious issue in their life, and they're going to want to know why. This is what I do with my why questions for me. Number one, I admit I don't always fully understand God's ways. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways. What's it say? Come on, read it. His ways are, can't hear you, past finding out. So you know what that means? If something's past finding out, you can't find it out. That's what the Bible says. So one of the things I do is there's a real possibility I will never, ever understand why. And sometimes I just have to take that and just leave it with him. When I don't understand why, just leave it with him. This might be one of the mysteries in my life that I can't find an answer for on why it happened. The second thing I do is I admit that I probably don't fully understand God's love in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my struggle, and in the midst of my questions. In Ephesians 3:19, it says, "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." Literally what that is saying is that God's love for you and for me is so amazing, but it's so beyond you trying to comprehend it with your mind. And sometimes when you're in a situation, you're thinking, there is no way God loves me in my situation. And like my friend, she was blaming God for her situations until she allowed a slight crack in the door that there might be a possibility that it wasn't God who killed every one of her family members. And if there was a slight possibility that he wasn't responsible for the bad stuff in her life, then maybe God really did love her. And I usually try to sit back and in the midst of questions I can't answer in painful situations, I usually ask God, "Lord, it says I can't fully understand your love for me, but can I have a little better glimpse today than I did yesterday? Because I have a lot of pain in my life right now, and I need your love. I need to understand a little better on how much you love me." See, sometimes we equate bad things in our life as what? God not loving us. Maybe there's somebody else at work in the world who doesn't love us. Maybe somebody else had free will and made a decision to get drunk and get in a car and drive down the road and get in an accident and hurt somebody you love. Maybe it wasn't God who was ultimately responsible for that. And maybe it wasn't a lack of God's love. It was a lack of responsibility of somebody else. The third thing I do is I have to admit I only have a small piece of the picture. Have you guys ever put together one of these big, I don't know, 500,000 piece puzzles? My grandmother used to do them all the time. It used to drive me crazy. And she would sit there for hours smoking like 3 cartons full of cigarettes and put these puzzles together. I mean, that was my grandmother. It was crazy. And while she's serving us breakfast and I'm trying to eat an egg, choking down on nicotine while she's putting the puzzle together on the table. Whole different story, but so but I remember one time she took one piece out of the puzzle with no box, took it out, and she handed me a piece of the puzzle. And she goes, "What is this puzzle about?" Handed me one little piece. "You tell me what the picture is." I said, "Impossible." She goes, "All right, I'll give you 2 of the 1,000 pieces. Now you tell me, what is this all about?" I said, "Impossible." Now, look at this verse. "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm also known." You know what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 13? Your entire life, you're not going to have the whole picture. You're just going to have little parts and pieces of the puzzle. And here we are, we're trying to figure out what the whole big picture is. How many of you are saying, "You know what? I want I'm going to do it the rest of my life. Where am I going to go to school? How am I going to pay for school? You know, when I get to school, if I meet somebody, should I get married when I'm in school? Should I wait until I'm out of school? You know, am I going to really get a job when I get out of school? You know, what should I get a job in? You know, and then, okay, if I do get married, how soon should I have kids and how many kids should I have? You know, and if I do have kids, like Rachel, should I just give them away to somebody else who likes them more than me?" And you got all these questions about what? All the little individual pieces of the puzzle, what is called your life. And the reality is God's only giving you a glimpse of a little bit of it, and you're trying to figure out the whole thing, and you're really, really frustrated, right? Because you want the rest of the pieces of the puzzle so you can frantically put them all together. Now, some of you, if I were to ask you this question, hopefully you're old enough, you're a pretty young group here, would say, I'm really kind of glad 5 years ago God didn't show me the pieces of the puzzle I have in my hand today. Because I might have decided the next 5 years weren't worth it. Sometimes God doesn't give you more than you can handle, and the more you can handle is the knowledge. Remember that one movie where he's yelling at the guy and says, you can handle the truth? Sometimes that's really true. And God in his love only gives you a little bit of the piece of the puzzle when he knows you're ready for it. What helps me on those questions of I don't know why, I step back and say, you know what? In reality, I don't have the whole picture. In reality, I don't really understand how much God loves me, all right? In reality, right, you only know a little bit. And you won't fully understand God's purpose in your life. So what do? You breathe. You relax in the fact that you don't have the answer. You don't have it mapped out for the next 20 years. And for those of you that are control freaks and need to know what's happening in the next 5 minutes, I understand it's probably a really difficult place for you to live. But that really is the where most of us live in our lives. So what do? I sat there. I give it back to God. I say, God, you love me more than I'll ever comprehend. I only got a small glimpse of what's really happening. What I think is happening might not even really be happening. Then what do? Look at this. Psalm 37, verse 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. When I don't know really what the future holds, the one thing that is an anchor for me is I put my trust in God. I plant myself where I'm at. I don't make any huge decision changes, and I cultivate faithfulness. I dwell in the land I'm at, and I remain faithful to the people around me, to my God, to my job, to my situation. I said, you know what? I'm going to dwell on the land. I'm going to be faithful in what's in front of me, and I'm going to trust the Lord. The next thing I do is this. It's found in Romans 8:28. I believe that somehow, in some way, it's all going to work out. So that's just positive thinking. Kinda, but it's Bible. Look what it says in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So what I do is I sit back and say, Lord, I don't like my situation. I don't fully understand my situation. I'm going to develop faithfulness here. I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to do my best to love you, God. Because you promised me in Romans, if I do, somehow, some way, you're going to turn all this stuff out in some way that it works for my best and for my good. There are some situations in my life now at the age of 53 that I could tell you I would have not have picked for my life, but they have worked out for my best. God has turned them around in such a way to bring blessing in my life. The last thing I do is found in Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord because his mercy endures forever. I was sitting with a young mother recently, and she was going through some relational challenges in her life, and she had a million why questions for me. I don't understand why this is happening in my life. I don't understand why this is happening with my children, my marriage. I don't understand why this is happening. And she had all these why questions. And I let her sit and I let her vent for a while. And then I looked at her and I said, can I ask you a question? She said, yes. I said, do you fully understand everything God's doing here? And she said, no, not even a little bit. I says, do you believe that God is good? And she paused for a moment. I said, not your circumstance. Do you believe God is good? She says, I believe God is good. Then can you give thanks to him in the midst of hard times? Do you believe in your life his mercy will endure forever? That he will be merciful to you? And she said, I don't know, but I'm willing to try. There are people in our lives that we can't change. Can't fix them. Not supposed to. And these people influence our lives. These people sometimes cause joy, sometimes cause pain in our lives. Why are they in your life? I don't know. When you're a hardworking person and you're faithful in your job and you get fired, and the slacker doesn't. Why? I don't know. When you try to eat right and take care of your body and you do everything you know, and all of a sudden you get a report that says you're sick or there's something wrong with you. Why? I don't know. Have you ever had somebody try to answer the why question for you and everything they said caused more pain? When I handed that little baby to their mom and dad, and she said, Pastor, why? You prayed and asked God to give me this baby. I prayed. We fasted. We had our beautiful baby. We named it after my husband. His name is Paul. And he didn't live 1 hour. Why? I don't know. Why? But I do know that one day you will see him again in heaven. And she's crying. And he says, the husband says, I don't understand. I says, you know, I don't either. But I do believe God is still good. And his mercy endures forever. And I do believe if you trust him, somehow he'll turn this situation around for good. Today, these two people have three pretty amazing kids. They had more. A lady who could have none had three more after the one she lost. Do I think it was God's will that she lost one? I personally don't think so. Do I think God killed her baby? Pretty convinced he didn't. Pretty convinced it was an accident in a hospital that caused it. Why? I don't know. So when somebody comes up to you, or you're sitting there, and somebody says, why does this happen to me? I gave my life to Jesus last week, and all hell broke loose, and my life sucks now. My life was better before I knew God. Why? I don't know. Are you convinced if you wouldn't have given your life to God, your life would have been amazing still? Well, maybe not. So there you go. I don't know why. Those verses I gave you, they give you permission not to know why. They give you, say, you know, all I know is this little piece I've got in front of me, and I'm going to run with that. Just that one little piece. In today's economy, somebody sitting here might lose their job soon. Somebody sitting here, you might graduate from college and not get a job. The only thing you'll get is a debt. So try to do without that, I'd recommend. Some of you may fall in love with an amazing person and dreaming of a long life together, and the life might not be as long as you thought. Somebody, you may marry Prince Charming and find out he's not as charming as you thought. Or you may marry a princess and find out she's not exactly the princess you thought. Some of you may pray and ask God for children. He may give you one and you may say, God, take it back. I changed my mind. Too late. Some of you may have an idea the way it's supposed to be, and all of a sudden he pulls out the rug and everything changes. What do? Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and be faithful. Believe that God works all things together for good to those who love him or are called according to his purpose. And believe that God is good and his mercies last forever. Some people tell me, when I get to heaven, I'll ask them why. So when you get to heaven, you won't care why. It'll be so glorious, it won't matter. Amen? I'd like to answer some questions. Anybody any questions about what do you do when crappy stuff happens in your life or your friends' lives? What do? Have you guys never had a bad thing happen? Never. Jonathan, you talk to Jesus when bad things happen. And what do you do if he doesn't say anything back? Suck up and adjust. There you go. That's a man's answer. Okay. How many girls, you just cry? And guys, I cry. It's like, because that's a biblical response too. Ask David. He cried a lot. He said he made his bed his tears. He didn't know why. Are you raising your hand or is he waving it? What do? Have you ever tried to answer a friend's why question and wished you would have just kept your mouth shut and said you didn't know? No, seriously. I'm probably one of the pastors that's best at saying, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. I hate going to hospitals because everybody's got questions on the why and there's no really good answers. Hey, I love my dad. Why is he dying of cancer? Why did he get healed and then he get it again and start dying again? Why did he get healed and then get it again and start dying again? I don't know why. Why would God heal somebody and then just let him get it again? I don't know why. We're not designed to know all the answers. And I think those verses where it talks about, hey, we only know in part. We can't fathom all of God's purpose and his knowledge. He puts it right in there. Hey, you're not really supposed to understand all of it. How about the knowledge of the puzzle? Does that help? In Corinthians 13, it says, you only see in part. Well, my grandmother handed me that puzzle, and she says, you tell me what's on the picture of that box that's turned upside down. She gave me one little piece of 1,000. I said, that's impossible. She goes, all right, I'll give you 2 or 3 pieces. Now tell me. That's still impossible. You can give me 500 pieces, and I still may be clueless. And she goes, are you okay with not knowing until he gives you the last piece? And then you step back and go, now I get it. I get it. But when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, like some of you, you might not get that final piece until you're 80. And you're thinking, I don't want to wait that long. I need to know now. Has anyone ever said, I need to know now? God, I need your answer now. Or to somebody else, I need to know now. And God just smiles. And I feel like he's in that movie, right? You can't handle the truth. Which is probably true. Any other questions about what do? With the questions that you don't understand. Who said that? Yeah, learn. True. But then sometimes you end up with another question like, God, seriously, haven't I learned enough yet? No, really, haven't I learned enough yet? Haven't I been through enough yet? Lord, will this circumstance ever change? You ask that all the time. I'm not really sure why churches don't really talk about these things, because these are the real stuff that we all deal with every day. All the time we deal with this stuff. And we think, I'm the only person who has doubts. I love this girl. She was so mad at God. And then one thing that changed for her, it really was a simple idea that just maybe there was a possibility it wasn't his fault. It seems really weird when you have to take God off the hook. How many know it's really easy to blame God? It's easy sometimes. And then you get a little afraid because you realize he's God and you're not. But still, it's easier, and it's easier to blame other people sometimes who have really, it's not really their fault. Any other questions? Can somebody tell me why all the people are in this building tonight? Because I don't fully understand why. And you want to know what? I'm okay with not understanding why. So what do? Love each person each week when they come to the best of your ability. And do what? Give thanks to the Lord because he is good and his mercy never ends. And some of you look around like, I wish people would stick around in my life. Me too. But sometimes they don't. But what do? Enjoy friendships and relationships when you have them. Give thanks to God because he's really good. And the fact that you and I even have one friend is a sign of his mercy in our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the refuge. Thank you for the worship tonight. Lord, may we just kind of hang out, get to know each other. God, thank you that you're not afraid of us asking why. It doesn't scare you away. It doesn't make you mad. But Lord, help us tonight as we walk out, rest a little bit in our heart and soul, realizing we might not rarely ever understand why. But what we do know is, God, you're good. We can trust you. You're for us, not against us. And if we love you, somehow you'll take our circumstances and you'll work them together for our good. And Lord, because of that, we give thanks to you. And we thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you didn't get a chance and you want to do that.